This chapter, the chapter 2 of John's Gospel, records the first visit which the Lord made to Jerusalem upon commencing his public ministry. The Lord is 30 years of age, and he makes his way to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. And as he does so, on this occasion, his first visit makes a very clear distinction between true and false conversion, between true and false profession of faith. We see here the example of the multitude who believed on the Lord because of the miracles that he did. Verse number 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Many believed. They believed upon what they saw, what they had observed, what they had witnessed. They saw the Lord's miracles and believed. But yet the Bible tells us in verse 24 that Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The word commit means to trust. It's the very same word that is translated to trust or to believe. The Lord did not believe in them. He did not trust them because he knew what was in them. There was a profession of faith to a degree, but there was nothing of any substance in that profession. There was no real desire for truth, no real desire to know the Savior and to identify with him. They were merely seeking for something that was sensational. The miracles appealed to them. The Lord did not give his time to these people. He did not commit himself to them, because he knew what was in them. There was no substance. There was no root within them. And yet in the midst of this multitude, in the midst of the great assembly of people who had gathered in Jerusalem, in the midst of all this false and empty profession, there was one genuine seeking soul. A ruler of the Jews. A man of high standing in Jewish society, a man who was a member of the Sanhedrin, a man who was of considerable influence and authority, a man by the name of Nicodemus. And here in the midst of this scene, many believing because they had seen the miracles, but with an empty profession, in the midst of this scene of empty profession, here was one man who was genuine. A man who had a genuine desire to know the truth. And he makes his way to the Lord by night because he was afraid of what others would say and do. But nevertheless, he still came. He came seeking the Lord. He came desiring to know the truth. And the Lord took time with Nicodemus. Do you see the contrast here? There's a great multitude and the Lord has no time for them. The Lord does not commit himself to them, even though they made this outward profession. He gave them no time, no commitment, because he knew what was in them. But when he found a man who was sincere, when he found a man who was genuine, when he found a man who was earnestly desiring to know the truth, the Lord took the time with this man. And we find here from verse 1 of chapter 3, all the way down to verse 21, that the Lord entered in to one of the greatest conversations that he had with any man upon the face of this earth. The Lord speaks about the new birth. The Lord speaks about the reason why he came into this world. He speaks about the love of God. He speaks about his own death. He speaks about the need of faith. He enters into the greatest of subjects. He takes time. And he shows to Nicodemus the greatest need of his soul. the great need to be born again of the Spirit. He says in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." This is your necessity, Nicodemus. The Lord Jesus did not commit Himself to the multitude, did not give them His time, but He gave His time to Nicodemus. And where there is a sincere, genuine, earnest desire to know the truth, the Lord Jesus will commit Himself to that soul, and He will fulfill that desire. He will meet that need. What the Lord said to Nicodemus is the need of all men. Isn't it interesting there in verse 7 how the Lord uses the difference between singular and plural? "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." He's speaking generally. He's speaking about the need of all men, the whole of mankind, of which Nicodemus was a member, and he classes Nicodemus amongst that grouping of mankind, and he says, "Ye must be born again. This is your need." The need to be born again, the need to be regenerated. It is the need of all individuals. And as we consider this conversation, as we consider this genuine seeker of truth, this man to whom the Lord committed His time, to whom the Lord gave time, to whom the Lord spoke, to whom the Lord gave this tremendous unfolding of truth, as we consider this, we find something that is relevant to each and every one of us. We discover here in the first place the reason why men need to be born again. The first reason is very simple, because the Lord Himself has said so. Nicodemus came to the Lord, and did you notice in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, "Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God." He has a degree of truth, but not all the truth. And he recognizes that this man, this teacher, this rabbi who stands before him, was one who had come from God. The Lord Jesus, a little later in the conversation, will identify Himself as the only begotten Son of God. He will bring Nicodemus to a knowledge of the truth that He is the Son of God, that He is God the Son, that He is God manifest in the flesh. He's the only begotten, the one who has proceeded from the Father. The Lord says to this man, "I say unto thee, ye must be born again." All men need to be born again, very simply because the Lord has said it. It's not what the church says, it's not what any preacher says, it's what Christ has said. And that ought to be enough. That settles the matter tonight. The Son of God, the Creator of all things, the Judge of all the earth, the One who is truth incarnate, has said to the sons of men, "Ye must be born again." You remember the Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Whatever the Lord Jesus says to us is the truth. He cannot lie. And men need to be born again because the Lord has said it. Ye must be born again. We must be born again because you cannot get into heaven without this new birth. Look at verse number 3. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's only one person who can lay down the condition for entrance into heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. It's not the church that decrees the entrance to heaven. It is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has given to His church this message to declare to men that the only way they can enter heaven is if they've been born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot. It's impossible. There are many things which we do not need in order to enter heaven. We can get to heaven without being rich. We can get to heaven without having any education. We can get to heaven without having any reputation. We can get to heaven without having the approval of society. We can get to heaven without being baptized. We can get to heaven without being a member of the church. But we most certainly cannot get to heaven without being born again of the Spirit of God. Ye must be born again. The Lord has said it. And the Lord has said that this is the condition, this is the requirement. You cannot enter heaven without having been born again. All men need to be born again because of their present nature. Look at verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now the Lord is beginning to show Nicodemus what he is naturally. How he came into the world, the nature that he has through ordinary, through natural generation. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's a corrupt and fallen sinful nature that's passed on in natural conception and birth. We're born into this world as sinners. Rebels against God, a lost soul. The Bible says, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And a man is born naturally. He's born with a nature that cannot in any way please God. Everything that he does displeases God. In that condition, in that nature, everything that a man or woman does cannot please God. The flesh is sinful. And in that present situation, in that present condition, men cannot enter heaven. Even if they could enter heaven without being born again, heaven would be hell to them. Their sinful nature could not abide the atmosphere of heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And man must be born again because he has said it. Because without this regeneration, we cannot enter heaven. We need to be born again because of what we are naturally. We are born sinners, corrupt and undone and lost. Ye must be born again. But you'll notice here as the Lord progresses in the conversation that he unfolds to Nicodemus how this new birth would take place, how it would be performed. Verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's one thing that's absolutely clear from this verse. This new birth that is required is performed by the Spirit of God. Except a man be born of the Spirit of God. The Lord is speaking about something that is entirely and exclusively the work of God. From this man is excluded. Men cannot create this new life, this spiritual life within their soul. It is the work of the Holy Spirit alone. Except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Of course, there's been a lot of controversy around what the Lord meant by that phrase, born of water. We've got to ask the question, is the Lord speaking about literal water? As some have alleged, the Church of Rome teaches that a child must be sprinkled with literal water, and by that the grace of regeneration is conferred to that child. And I think when you look at Scripture, you find the evidence that that is not the case. That baptism comes afterwards. The dying thief did not have any water sprinkled upon him. And yet the Lord said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that was evidence that he was born again of the Spirit. He was born of the Spirit on the cross as he was dying without water, literal water. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Apostle Peter tells us in that chapter that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the Lord Jesus, when He said we are born of the Spirit, He is referring to the agent, the one who produces this new life, this spiritual life, the Holy Spirit. But when He mentions water, He's talking about the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to bring about that new life. The instrument that He uses, the means that He uses, is the Word of God. The Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, Paul is speaking there of the Lord and of His church. And he says there how the Lord Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And there he uses the term water in a symbolical sense. It is a reference to the Word of God. And he's taking the symbolism of water cleansing and purifying to describe the effect that the Word of God has in the soul of man when it is applied by the Spirit of God. We are born of the Spirit by the Word. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He uses that Word not only to bring conviction to souls, but to create new life by speaking the Word and applying that Word within the heart. He creates new life within. A life that is pure, just as water cleanses and purifies. So that life that He creates is holy and pure and clean. This is how the Lord will do this. And He showed to Nicodemus this. He emphasized this. Nicodemus, this is a spiritual birth. This is something that man has no part in. This is something that is wrought by God. Applying His Word to the heart. But you'll notice, as he described the way in which this would be wrought, he also highlighted what this new birth would produce. How it would be manifested. Verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Spirit of God produces a new spiritual nature. A nature which the individual did not possess beforehand. Men are born into this world, they're born with a sinful nature. They do not have spiritual life. The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins. While we live, we are dead. We are dead to God. But the Holy Spirit creates spiritual life, a spiritual nature. And that nature manifests itself by faith in Jesus Christ. You look there at verse number 8. The Lord says, He uses an illustration, the wind blows where it wills, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, He's saying, you cannot, just as you cannot discern and describe and understand the operation of the wind, so you cannot understand this mysterious act of the Holy Spirit within the soul. But although you cannot understand the operation of the wind, you can hear it and you can see its effect. And you know that the wind is there. And so the Lord is saying, when a man is born of the Spirit, though you cannot explain how that is brought about in the depths of his soul and his being, yet nevertheless you will see the effect of it. You will see the evidence of it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, without exception. A person born again of the Holy Spirit will bear the evidence. The first sign of evidence is faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord introduces here the whole subject of faith. Having talked about this great need of regeneration, He then immediately introduces the subject of faith. Verse number 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And again in verse 16, faith is mentioned, whosoever believeth in Him. Verse number 18, but he that believeth on Him is not condemned. You see, the emphasis is on faith, faith that is focused upon Christ, faith that rests in Christ, faith that receives Him as the Son of God, that rests upon His atoning sacrifice at the cross. The Lord is saying that's how this new life will be manifest, by faith in Jesus Christ. A man that's born again will receive Christ as the Son of God, and believe that He took His place on the cross and shed His blood to pay the ransom price for his sin. That's how this faith, this life, this new birth is manifest, by faith in Jesus Christ. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 5, the first epistle of John, and keep your finger in 1 John and also John's Gospel, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Look what he says. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the evidence of the new birth. A person that's born again will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God. John is making it clear here. This is how this new life, this spiritual life, manifests itself. Faith in Jesus Christ. A person that does not believe in Christ or rest upon His finished work is not born of God. The new birth manifests itself in a nature that turns from sin. Repentance is born within the soul. Not merely a feeling of remorse for sin, but the actual turning away from sin, the forsaking of it, casting it away, turning away from sin. You see in verse number 20 of John chapter 3, he talks about men loving darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. By nature they are sinners and they love their sin. They will not come to the light because the light will reprove them. The light will reveal their sin, their wickedness. And so they hate the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, God produces, when he regenerates the soul, God produces actions that are holy. Deeds that are holy. There's a turning away from sin, a forsaking of sin, and an embracing of the ways of God in truth and in righteousness. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, that is God, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. The new birth not only manifests itself in saving faith and in repentance, turning away from sin, but it manifests itself in righteousness, right living, living according to God's truth, according to God's way. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God works this change within. And the result, the consequence, is a righteous life. A life that is pleasing to the Lord. A man that is born again of the Spirit no longer has the desire for the things of the world. God puts a new desire in his heart, that desire to please him, to walk with him, to fellowship with him, to obey him, and to live according to his will. This is the mark. This is the evidence of the new birth. The Lord Jesus is setting it very clearly here before Nicodemus. Not only for the sake of Nicodemus, but for the sake of all men. That we might know what is the great need of our soul, we need to be born again. That we might know how that birth is brought about by the Spirit of God. That we might know how to identify it. Remember the Lord, in the context of this conversation, did not commit himself to the multitude who believed when they saw the miracles, because he knew what was in them. Or rather, he knew what was not in them. They did not possess that new birth, that spiritual life. And he sets before this one man, this genuine seeker of truth, he sets before him the great need. The need of the new birth and how it would be brought about and how it would be manifested. We live in an age where there's much religion, where there's much that passes for the name of Christianity. I think it is the case that the Lord does not commit himself to it. The great need of the day, the great need of every heart, is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Because without that, men cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No matter how much profession or religion they might have, except a man be born again, he cannot enter
into the kingdom of God. May the Lord write His word upon each of our hearts. And those of us who are born of the Spirit, let us thank the Lord. And let us endeavor to make the message clear to others. This is the great need. This is the chief need of the individual soul. He must be born again. And we must make that clear. We must leave men in no doubt what their need is. They must be born again. May the message be clear, and may the message be plain.